back to EcoTalk. We're speaking with Van Jones and Vivian Chang, two of the principals organizing World Environment Day, which is actually 5 days. I guess that's because here in the green and progressive Bay Area, there's just way too much going on to squeeze into a day. Is that, in fact, the reason?
Yeah, well, they've always had several days of celebration leading up to World Environment Day itself, and so it seems a little bit weird because World Environment Day celebration is 5 days long, but I think it should be 100 days long. So
I think it should be 365
exactly
days.
Exactly.
We need a World Environment Year.
Exactly.
Every year.
Decade, millennium.
One of the programs you're going to be announcing is during this conference is Reclaim the Future, and your founding slogan for those who are just waking up and joining us, Green Jobs, Not Jails. Your press release about this says, the path to peaceful streets and true community safety is not more prisons, but ecologically economic development. And Reclaim the Future will push for the creation of public-private community partners to promote healthy communities. It sounds like someone has a green dream.
Yeah. Well,
is it yours?
Well, it's shared by a lot of people. I mean, one of the things, and it really kind of picks up on what Vivian was talking about, you know, there are very few people who are on the extremes of the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, whatever. Most people are tripartisan or transpartisan. And we're trying to put forward a vision that can get a majority of folks excited. When you talk about creating green-collar jobs in urban America, you know, that's an elegant single-bullet strategy to knock down a bunch of problems that we're having with regard to community health, environmental racism and the poisoning of our communities, the lack of community safety that comes from people making desperate choices, desperate economic choices. And, you know, from our point of view, being able to project a vision, a positive vision from the left is so critical. Right now, you know, if you ask somebody, well, what issue do you work on? They can tell you, and they can talk to you for 20 minutes. You say, what solution are you working for? The conversation gets real quiet because we have become so defined by what we're opposed to that what we're opposed to is now defining us. So we're the anti-war, anti-prison, anti-this, anti-that movement.
I'm just the anti-ignorance show.
Exactly.
Let's take our heads out of the sand.
Exactly. But, I mean, I think that there's a... the next step beyond, you know, anti-ignorance is pro-wisdom. And we need a wisdom culture in this country. And that is red state, blue state. That's black, white, Latino, Asian, Martian. There, we understand, I think, you know, as a human family, there's something's wrong, that the way that we're living is not sustainable. We don't know what the answers are. What I'm excited about is that as we enter this, what I call the third wave of environmentalism, the answers are showing up. The first wave was conservation, Teddy Roosevelt. The second wave was
a Republican.
A Republican. The second wave was regulation of the bad guys. The second wave, this new wave, is...
Third wave, right?
Third wave.
Yeah.
Conservation, regulation of the problem, and investment in the solution. And we start investing in the solution, whether the solution is biodiesel, hybrid cars, high-performance buildings. Some people are excited about hydrogen. There's permaculture. There's organic food. When you start investing in the solutions, you start creating jobs. Once you're talking about a job-creating environmentalism, a social uplift environmentalism, you get a much bigger constituency to excite. That constituency, some will be Republicans, some will be Democrats, some will be Green Party members. Different things will appeal to them, but what you suddenly have, you have the basis for a new politics, a New Deal coalition for the new century that says, we want government to be a partner in helping us to pull off this U-turn together.
In fact, there were some focus groups done around the Death of Environmentalism essay, which we've discussed quite a bit on the show, and they found that if they get a focus group, a room full of people just brought in at random and talk about environmental issues, they glaze over. They fall asleep. But you start talking about creation of jobs and opportunities and healthier communities, people perked up. So this has been proven.
Yes.
And what you're saying gives me goosebumps because it's such a great idea, and it's such a win-win-win. And yet, it's not so easy to do. I mean, many of us wonder, gosh, how can we interest someone who's concerned about, you know, can they put food on the table, mm-hmm. you know, with environmental issues. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's an initiative in San Francisco to place a bag tax, 17 cents, on all plastic and paper grocery bags at the big chains to reduce the amount of waste. And some people are saying that's an economic hardship to a large number of residents in San Francisco. So we are trying to get, you know, gigantic cloth bag giveaway. But it's true that some people don't have the luxury to be concerned about the environmental consequences of our actions. You work there. You're in the trenches. And how are you able to do this? Is it mm-hmm. one-on-one? Do you have community meetings and people? It's like a revival. People leave all fired up and sign up to join the revolution or what?
I think the key here is to remember that it has to be a collaborative vision. And that word before vision is really, really, really important. And there needs to be a collaborative vision and a collaborative strategy. You need to work from where people are at. So let me give you an example. I mean, we at APEN, we believe that the strategy to get from A to B is about building from the ground up. And it's built through those one-on-one conversations, the multitude of community meetings. And yes, in the end, it may take us a little bit longer to get there, but if you think about what it takes to turn a big ship around, it may take some time and it turns slowly, but once we're all aligned in the same direction, we're unstoppable.
And I've heard it doesn't even take all of us, like 10% can cause a tipping point. And you talk about the soul of environmentalism. What is that sort of new layer on this conversation on the death of environmentalism?
Well, I mean, what's really exciting to me is that a number of leaders in the environmental justice movement, and for people who don't know what that means, the environmental justice movement is the people of color who are engaged in environmental issues, environmental politics, often at the grassroots level. So this whole debate's been going on, the death of environmentalism, et cetera. A very impressive collection of leaders collaboratively discussed and collaboratively came up with a response. It's a very wise response. It's very beautiful. It's inspiring. It doesn't have the kind of cattiness and the kind of disrespect that I think characterized the start of this debate. It's very respectful, but it's very important, and it's called the soul of environmentalism. And that particular piece is creating a new conversation.
And what percentage, roughly, of the people that you address, either one-on-one or in meetings, are enrolled in this? And mm-hmm. is it like 50-50? I'm wondering, you're a very effective, both of you, speaker, and it's so mm-hmm. compelling, and yet I'm sure it's not just as easy as that.
Well, it's just not, and I think that's true with politics in general. I think that the first concern that if you're, you know, a working class person of color in an urban environment, somebody's coming with some big pie in the sky dream, is, you know, you're going to be a little bit suspicious. Like, is this actually going to result in jobs for me or for my kid? And I think also sometimes because there's so many survival issues that people are confronting and dealing with in the immediate sense, that the sort of the next step down, doesn't get a lot of attention on a daily basis. But what we've found is that when we talk to people from the heart about the asthma, about the cancer, about the learning disabilities and the birth
lack of access to organic produce or affordable organic produce,
just you know, good healthy food, just being able to talk about that and how frustrated people feel, it doesn't take much to get people vocal about their concerns and the fact that they feel that their children are being shortchanged. Then when we put forward a solution that says, and there's a way for us to turn it around, you see a response.
And can you and your organization start creating these jobs, or do we really need buy-in from government, and is that starting to happen?
This is a vision that's going to create that needs everybody around the table. That's the only way that this thing is going to move. So the community needs to be at the table. Labor needs to be at the table. Government needs to be at the table. And business needs to be at the table.
Are they starting to come?
Yeah. One of the things that's going to happen is that at the World Environment Day, during the World Environment Day Summit, which we're here to talk about, on the Thursday of the summit, which I guess that would be on June 2nd, the Business Expo opens. And so all these socially responsible green businesses are going to be in one place, and they're going to open the doors, and they're going to say, look at our products, look at our services. And the first 2 hours, our social equity track and Reclaim the Future will be there for the first 2 hours to talk about these are wonderful products, wonderful services. How can we use it to create jobs for the people who need them, for those young people of color, those formerly incarcerated people who right now are not in the workforce? Can they be brought in? We're going to have a 2-hour roundtable discussion with business leaders on the one side, community leaders on the other side, to talk about this. First time ever, and it's going to be very exciting.
And is this the event you're talking about, and most of them, in fact, open to the public and free?
Yes, open to the public and free. And if you want more information, you can go to our website, ellabakercenter.org. ELLABAKERcenter.org.
And the WED website is?
I believe it's unwed2005.org.
.org, I think so, too. We'll double-check that before the
sure.
end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And in the remaining minute before the spot break, what does Ella Baker Center do primarily?
We primarily focus on criminal justice and juvenile justice, you know, trying to make sure that our young people are not overly incarcerated and mistreated in that system. We know that in California, for instance, we're spending more money on prisons now than on all of our 4-year colleges and universities combined. And so we have a bigger prison budget in California than we have an education budget for higher ed. Those are the things we're working to change.
And, of course, once people go to prison, they don't necessarily come out better.
That's right.
And reformed.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the big problems that we have is that people actually get damaged in prison, and then when they come home, there are no services to help them to readjust.
Great. We're continuing our conversation right after the break with Vivian Shen.